You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
So turn your Bibles to Luke. Our bass player, Luke, is his name. But you can't ever just say Luke. You must always say Luke. This is what we do. Luke 17, we're starting a new series on gratitude. And gratitude is the opposite of stinking thinking. And so if you got stinking thinking here today, we're going to swing the sword of the Lord and bring you into a place of gratitude. It's going to be magical. Probably not. A lot of times the Lord says, no, I want you to discipline your way into gratitude. And we're going to talk about that. Sometimes he does like the thing where he does stuff for you, but mostly he wants us to co-labor with him to bring his kingdom on earth. So Luke 17, I love this story, 11 through 19. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version today. And it says this. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This is Jesus. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Let me just stop for a second. There's so much that happens as you go. We you know, there's been a lot of teachings on rest and stuff like that over the last few years. And there's truth to rest, but we live from rest into our labor. And God does so much more, not in the waiting, but in the going. You know, the biblical concept of waiting is actually being at the ready to serve, like a waiter at a table who's watching and waiting for the moment where service is, it needs to be rendered. As you go, he begins to do his work. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. Now, people sometimes wonder, they come here, it's like, why are these people so loud? Because the Bible says so. If you're going somewhere where aren't loud voices celebrating Jesus, then maybe we need to reorient our alignments. But anyway, okay, I don't want to preach through this whole thing. I get distracted when I read the word because there's so much richness. So that, well, verse 15 again, and I won't stop this time. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. Somebody say loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. There's a whole implication there, but we're not going to get into that probably. But you never know. Verse 17, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The King James, in that verse, says your faith has made you whole. I honestly think that's a better rendering, but all of the newer kind of classical type translations all say made you well. I don't think it gives you the full picture. So let's contrast verse 14 and 19 and understand that the message today is the power of gratitude, aligning heart with heaven. Gratitude literally aligns your heart with heaven. But what happens in the story? 10 were cleansed, and in the ESV it says one was made well. The Greek word for cleansed here speaks of ceremonial washing, which was typical in Hebrew culture of that day. And for a leper to be declared well or clean, because if you had leprosy, you were unclean in the Jewish tradition of that day, or the Jewish law, not the tradition. And so you would have to present yourself to the priests and they would have to declare you clean. And so this Greek word for cleansing literally means to be made clean or to be made well. The primary inference is the ceremonial washing, but it also speaks of being clean in terms of a moral code. Purification. But then at the end, the one man comes back. And then our translation says, your faith has made you well. But the Greek word there is sozo. Sozo has a whole different implication. It means salvation. It means healing. It means deliverance. One word speaks of working from the outside in. The other speaks of transforming from the inside out. One speaks of a temporary change in condition. The other speaks of a permanent shift in character. 10 were cleansed, but only one was made whole. 9 experienced the miracle, but one encountered the man. 9 received healing, but one received wholeness. Gratitude is what turns our encounter into excellence, which happens to be one of our ranked values. Gratitude is what turns an encounter into intimacy and a blessing into transformation. Gratitude is the foundation for commitment. Commitment without gratitude is like a cage. It's not a covenant. Commitment without gratitude builds a religious structure that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. But commitment will sustain you through moments where your gratitude wanes. Do you see the relationship between gratitude and commitment? So let's talk a little bit more about it. Number one, gratitude anchors our perspective. What does that look like? I often reference, you know, the apostles who were thrown into prison after they're beaten. And look, you know, prisons in the first century church, they're not like our prisons. There's no country club atmosphere. Like, they're in dirt. They're probably in like rodent fecal matter. They don't have good food, if any food at all. There's no bathroom, so they just got to do their business where they're chained. And what do? At midnight, they decide to have a praise party, because gratitude anchored their perspective in the moment. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Note how this is worded. He doesn't say, "Give thanks for your circumstances." He says, "Give thanks in your circumstances." Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because God is with me. When you're in the valley of the shadow of death, you keep walking. I'm not thanking God for the valley of the shadow of death. I'm thanking him that he's there with me in the midst of it. In my circumstance, I give thanks, whether it be good, whether it be bad. Mostly, sometimes I struggle to give thanks. Like on the golf course, when I'm watching this old guy like just drive these balls like long and straight. And then, look, the first time I went golfing with Gene, first of all, like I'm a hockey dude, I'm a football dude. I like full contact sports. I take pain more seriously now at 53 than I did even at 43. You know, I don't want to get hit anymore. Like I used to love getting hit. It's probably why I am the way that I am and why I had so many concussions in my younger days. But the first day, he hits the ball just long and straight. It's beautiful. You know, I've been doing golf lessons for a couple months, so I'm the master. I get up there, and now you're in the first tee, and there's a line of like old dudes behind us because they're waiting for us to go so they can go. And I get up there, I'm like, "Woo, I'm ready to go." I swing, my form is great. Somehow I hit the ball and it went that way. Now there's a little bit of sweat on my brow, and I haven't worked hard yet. So Gene's like, "Just take another ball. It's okay. Okay. I'm going to do right. I'm getting up there. I'm ready." And I was feeling good because the dude that went ahead of us just kind of dribbled the ball like 30 yards, like on the ground. I was like, "Oh, I can do better than that." So I get, okay, swing two. I did the exact same thing. It went that way. I don't even know how that happens. I was not giving thanks to God in that circumstance. I'm not sure I sinned either, but I can't confirm or deny what might have come out of my mouth at that moment, because I was being watched, and it's embarrassing. You have video? Do you have video of that? Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, I'm giving thanks in all circumstances. Okay. So it's my testing ground. God is testing my character through this new endeavor called golf, but I still don't accept golf claps. Although golf fans have gotten a lot more raucous now than they used to be, so maybe. Give thanks in all circumstance. When you choose gratitude in adversity, you lean into commitment saturated by love. That's what you do. When you choose gratitude in adversity, you dethrone complaint and enthrone Christ. It's impossible to host the Spirit of God in an atmosphere of murmuring. It will not happen. And so we have to, if you find yourself in this attitude of murmuring, or just the heart feels dark and the speech that comes out of your mouth is kind of complaining, and you've got to realign your heart because you are not hosting Holy Spirit. And therefore, if that thing becomes like leaven, that leavens the whole bread, we're not hosting them either. And I'm not going to let that happen because, man, I'm ready. I am ready to host the presence. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You guys know this. A lot of you know this. It says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whenever I quote verse 7 there, I typically say the peace that doesn't make sense to the intellectual mindset. You could be in a circumstance that is dire, that is difficult, and you can have a peace. It's wild, and you don't even, I'm talking about circumstances that come so hard, so fast, like you don't even know like what's going on, but there's this peace that is otherworldly that comes upon you. I was in a hostile nation, and we were doing meetings, and we were just getting bolder and bolder, and I'm kind of loud and boisterous anyway, which when you're in a hostile nation preaching the gospel, maybe it might be wisdom not to be loud and boisterous, but sometimes I can't help myself. And so we knew that there were kind of three government agents that were outside the meeting place that had been watching, but that's not atypical. It's kind of normal. Well, that meeting got raided by 75 to 80 government agents from three different bureaus. And they sealed off the exits, and they hid me in a checked out hotel room for 5.5 hours. And I peeked out the front window, and I could see all of the police vans and the robotic cameras. And they came, and they said, not the police, but the people came to me, and they said, look, if somebody knocks on the door, get in the shower and turn it on. And I'm like, well, do I get naked? Do I take a real shower? Like, I don't know. In my heart, I thought I was done. I really thought I was done, but there was this peace that came on me that didn't make sense in the moment. It wasn't out of discipline. I can't even say that I was giving thanks to God in that circumstance. I didn't know what was gonna happen. But there was something that came over me that just saturated my being. There's no real fear. It wasn't a comfortable situation. I don't want you to give you this like that I was leaping and dancing for joy. But I was at peace with the outcome because I knew that God had it in hand. It is a peace that doesn't make sense to the mind in those situations. But how do you get to that place? The discipline comes ahead of time. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, sometimes it's hard not to be anxious. So how do you just cast off anxiety from your life? In everything, by prayer and supplication. That means asking God for things. I get really angsty when I see, you know, preachers or leaders or people commenting on social media, like even about worship, they're saying, well, your worship is always asking God for things. And my first comment is, have you read the Psalms? Look, this happens in every generation, going all the way back to Martin Luther. Like people, we get this religious mindset of what we think worship should be when the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And I went through the entire book of Psalms back in probably 1997, and I had a few different highlighters, and one color was for all the verses of supplication, meaning all of the verses that asked God for something in the context of worship, because that's what the Psalms are. God wants us to come to him and ask of him. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep storming the gates of heaven. Don't back down. We're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We're a people of faith that preserve their souls. That's what Hebrews 10:39 is about. He's contrasting who we are in the new covenant compared to Israel in the first covenant. When God came on the mountain, Israel shrank back, but Moses ran up the mountain. We are now all like Moses. We are now have access by faith to come boldly before the throne of grace. We cast our cares upon him. We cast our circumstances at his feet. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So if the Spirit can ask for something, you can too. I'm not angry, I'm just passionate. Okay, that wasn't in my notes. But what's the kingdom key in all of this? Gratitude opens the gate to peace. Where gratitude flows, anxiety releases its hold and commitment takes root. You know, sometimes I you know, my body chemistry, I don't know, stuff wakes me up in the middle of the night and I can't shut my brain down. And Deb will say, you know, just pray in your prayer language. Just give thanks. Just spend some time in worship. Which honestly is pretty annoying. It's like 3 a.m. and I'm just all consternated about stuff and she's giving me advice and she's right. I'm not giving thanks in that circumstance, but now I'm convicted. So maybe next time I will. Where gratitude flows, anxiety releases its hold and commitment takes root. Does that make sense? Number two, gratitude keeps the flow of heaven open. Gratitude is not merely emotional, although as we step out into gratitude as a discipline, oftentimes the emotion will chase it. Sometimes it's a response, but it's also a key. It keeps us aligned with the river of God's goodness. I think we already quoted this morning, Psalm 100, verse 4. It says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. You know, today I noticed that there were, you know, more people here that were here on time. And so when worship started, there was already a buzz in the room. Why? Because we entered his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We entered into his courts with praise. There's something about leading with gratitude, leading with thanksgiving, leading with praise that elevates an entire room so that miracles can take place in your hearts today. Does that make sense? So thanksgiving is not always a response to entering God's presence, although once you're in there, you're pretty much usually giving thanks. You might be by, like Isaiah, the first thing you might say is like, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And then God's like, I got that. Get the coal off the altar. I'm gonna touch it to your lips and now you're good. And then he Jehovah sneakies Isaiah into the call of God. Who are we gonna send? You can read in Isaiah 6, I love it. God's saying to himself, you know, they're all talking as the Trinity's up there and they're like, who shall we send for us? I don't know. Man, if only we had a guy. Only if we had some guy who would just be faithful and just be consistent and be committed and just have a grateful heart. If only, and Isaiah is like listening to all this. And now he's, in one moment, he's concerned about his condition. And the next moment, he realizes anything is possible. Here am I, send me. I don't know what the mission is, God, but what I am beholding is so much better than anything I've ever faced in my life. And so I'm gonna just lay everything aside and buy that pearl of great price. I'm gonna lay everything aside and buy the whole field so I can get that one treasure that's buried in the midst. God, it is you. Here am I. Send me. Thanksgiving is not always a response to entering God's presence, but it's always a key to enter it. When people come and they say, you know, I just don't feel God's presence. A lot of times I say, you need to give them thanks. And if you don't know how to do that, just read the Psalms out loud. Read the word out loud. Find at least one thing that you can give them thanks for and begin to do that out loud. It transforms the atmosphere around you and it literally begins to reset your mindset. I mean, even the world is caught up to this, the power of gratitude. This is an ancient principle. But we're understanding that the power of gratitude, even in of itself, there is power in giving thanks and having a grateful heart. It transforms your mindset. It breaks off the scarcity mindset and brings you into an abundance mindset. That's what thanksgiving does. Without thanksgiving, the gate stays shut. With thanksgiving, you got free and clear access to the throne of grace. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. When we thank him, we recognize that every breath, every meal, every provision is supernatural in origin. Gratitude doesn't make God bigger. It makes our awareness of him bigger. I love that song, you know, the bridge or something. It says, let us become more aware of your presence. That's really what we're doing. You know, we ask God to come down. We ask God to manifest. And that's all good. So I think some of it's semantics because some people get uptight about that. But the reality is like he's here. Are you aware? If you're not aware, use a couple great prayers. Let us become more aware of your presence. God, I believe, help my unbelief. That's my favorite. I've said that prayer so many times in my life because I know that there's such truth to it. He doesn't want you to lie. He wants you to come as you are, but he wants you to engage in some principles out of discipline so that your physical mind can catch up with the work that he's doing in your spirit. Does that make sense? So what's the key here? Gratitude keeps the oil fresh, and complaining and murmuring dries up the flow. I don't think I've ever seen someone who's a complainer and a murmurer be just passing out the oil of gladness. There's only one kind of oil that can go in that vessel, and if you want to trade it for complaining and murmuring, I'm going to cut off the end of that sentence. Where gratitude flows, apathy fades and commitment endures. The Mama Vern and I were talking a few weeks ago about commitment. And we need like this time where we need to focus on commitment. And as I began to bring it to the Lord just said, commitment comes when gratitude is the foundation. Apathy fades when gratitude is released. And then commitment can endure. I don't want a bunch of people that are committed to being here, or committed to serving, committed to doing, committed to reaching out if you don't have gratitude. Because I don't want the cage, I want covenant. You don't want to be in a cage either, you want covenant. It is so much better than anything else you've ever tasted. I promise you this. Number three, gratitude leads to wholeness and revelation. Spirit of revelation, come. When the leper returned to Jesus, in the text that we read, he wasn't just healed, he was made whole. We are stepping into a gratitude revolution here at the Bridge Metro West. We are stepping into a gratitude revolution in the Church of Jesus Christ across New England. I believe that. Gratitude draws you into revelation, not just restoration. You can be restored, but we need the revelation of Jesus to overtake everything that we do. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says this. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. When you abound in thanksgiving, you are rooted in revelation. And you start to live from heaven's reality instead of earth's limitation. Gratitude breaks you out even of your own limitations. You might say, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. We were talking about being an introvert this morning. I'm an introvert. I know people are surprised by that because I do this. But after I leave here, I go to the man cave. It's football season too. So like, you know, and we were talking about, do we want to go to lunch today? I'm like, no, I don't want to go to lunch. I was out all day. I was peopling all day yesterday. I'm going to go hide. Now, I say that with fear and troubling because when I say that out loud, then the Lord's going to be like, he's going to whisper in my ear and say, go hang out with these people. And I'm going to be, really, Jesus, are you sure? Send someone else. I love people. I do. I love people, but I recharge in private. I crave solitude. I do all my writing in solitude. I do worship in solitude. There's something that happens. That's where it's a space where I get clarity. It's not a bad thing. So when I'm with people, I feel people's stuff. I feel everything around me. And sometimes it's hard to navigate all of that stuff. But man, I do. We hung out all day. It was great. We were by the fire. I didn't realize how bad, like, or how smoky I smelled till I got home. And Debbie said, wow, you smell like smoke, like fire smoke, not, you know. But that's what happens. Man, we want to get into his fire and we want to leave smelling like smoke so that we have a testimony to carry when we go out into the world. Anyway, when you abound in thanksgiving, you're rooted in revelation. You start to live from heaven's reality instead of earth's limitation. You have no limitation in him. The limitation is limited to the flow of the river and where he's taking you. Does that make sense? The grateful leper recognized who had healed him, not just what happened to him. Guys, this is such a great text. Wholeness is when you stop worshiping the miracle and start worshiping the miracle worker. When you focus, what you focus on, you make room for. What you fear, you empower, and you worship what you behold. And then you commit to what you worship. This is the process. But, you know, I often tell stories of revival and what an incredible time it was, you know, revival breaking out in 1995 across the world and even here in New England. And it was just a sovereign move of God. But not, we did nightly services, night after night after night after night. And I can still remember the people that would come in and they would have an encounter with the power of God. They would have an encounter with the glory of God. They would get the goosebumps. Sometimes they'd shake and fall down, or they'd laugh, or they'd cry, or and then they would leave and live life the way they lived it before. 10 were healed. 1 was made whole because the one realized it's not the miracle, it's the miracle worker. It's not the fragrance of his glory, it's the heart of a king. And I must see his face again. You could come here week after week and never know the man. You could come here week after week and never know this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty. You could have the goosebumps. You could have encounters with the essence and the fragrance and all of the things that surrounds a sovereign God and never press through that cloud to lay hold of him. He is calling you to his feet, and he's calling you to his face, and gratitude gets you there. Number 4, gratitude is a gate of glory. Psalm 24, 7 through 10 says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The gates are not stone, they're hearts. It's your heart. Sometimes you've got to prophesy to your own heart. You've got to prophesy to your own soul, because sometimes your feelings don't line up with heavenly reality, but you can understand the disparity between the two and bring yourself into this chiropractic spiritual adjustment that aligns you again with the will of the Father in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the cracking of your spiritual back comes through gratitude. Gratitude is the lifting of the head that welcomes the King of glory. When you thank God in advance, you create an environment for him to manifest his glory now. And a thankful church becomes the dwelling place of a king. What do we want to be known for? We have all kinds of leaders here, and I want our leaders to be so passionate about everything that they do, that they think it is the thing. But the Bible's pretty clear. We want to be known as a people who have been with God, and they will know that we are in Christ by how we love one another. Plain and simple. All the other stuff is part of what we do. But if love for one another is not the core of what we do, then we're missing the boat. If we're not seeing an explosion of evangelism and things in our lives, maybe we're just not loving each other quite in that kingdom way yet. The Bridge Metro West will be known as a house where gratitude opens the heavens and glory, power, and provision fills the room. And our commitment will be the key that unlocks this region for his kingdom. And not just us, man. There's faithful houses all over this region. I've come to know more about some of the things God is doing in Massachusetts and what God is doing in Rhode Island and what God is doing in New Hampshire and Vermont and Maine. And I'm telling you, God is raising up a bride in this land who will stand for him and release his glory, his love, his salvation, his healing, and his deliverance into the streets of this region that much of the church and other places says it's the frozen chosen, it's the minister's graveyard. Oh, how do you minister in such a place? I love it. I don't feel like it's hard to minister here. You know who Kingdom Family is pretty quick. You know people who have been drenched with love pretty quickly. And when we become the light in a dark place, man, that is what we are called to do, man. I'll be in Dallas in December, man. The homeless people will prophesy over you in Dallas. They know the word probably better than some of us know the word. And I'm not even joking. We had just left a barbecue place because that's what you got to do when you're in Dallas. And this dude came up to us and he started spitting scripture and prophesying over us. And all he wanted was fried okra. I can handle fried okra. It's the boiled okra that's weird, man. I can't do that. My dad loved it. He was like, it's just like, I don't know what it is. And so we went back in, we gave him fried okra. But let me tell you, when someone speaks a word or a prophecy over me, I always want to sow into their life. In this case, it was fried okra. Then the other homeless man who didn't know scripture like this dude, he's like, that guy's not homeless. I'm homeless. I slept on that table last night. And then they started arguing with each other. I'm like, I don't know, but the word of the Lord came from this dude, so he get the fried okra. Finally, point five. This is where the fear and the awe of the Lord comes in. Ingratitude shuts the flow. Complaining, murmuring. I mean, I don't know who feels good when they're complaining. It scratches a certain itch, but it's, you don't feel good. You're not inviting the light of heaven into your existence. Complaining is pretty easy. Talking bad about people is pretty easy. But that is the quickest way to shut the gate to the flow of heaven into your life and through your life. You guys know I complain mostly when I drive. I have never flown off the handle of my car into very mild road rage. You know, I used to be more demonstrative. Now I'm just like, what are you doing? Why are you driving like that? What kind of idiotic maneuver is that? Bless your heart. I've never invited heaven into my car doing that. Now, I will say that my wife is a road rager with the best of them. When she first moved here, we first married, she came from a quieter part of North Carolina. And she cried when she drove because she's like, these people are crazy. The roads are crazy. What is going on here? Now she's like, why didn't you honk the horn? But conversely, when I'm the one who flies off the handle, she's like, just give it to Jesus. Just pray in the spirit, hon. And she's not wrong. I hate that. But I love it. Numbers chapter 14, 7 through 10. He said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said, to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. One of the issues with Israel that kept the first generation from entering the promised land after and required them to be in 40 years in the desert was ingratitude. It was murmuring. It was complaining. They had the promise. They had the word from God. They had the encounters. There was the plagues, and then there was the fire by night, the cloud by day and the fire by night. That's how that works. God's presence literally manifesting before them every single day. God's provision coming in the form of manna every single morning. You know, I grew up so many years, you know, especially after revival, I would just say, just one encounter is enough. You just gotta have the encounter. But now I realize that so many had the encounter, but they didn't come to the feet. They didn't come to his face. They knew the stuff of God. They knew the glory of God. They knew the power of God. They saw the thunders and the lightnings, but they didn't know his ways. 9 were cleansed, but only 1 was made whole. The encounter leads you into the possibility of wholeness, but gratitude gets you there. Murmuring and complaining will block the flow every day of your life until you nail it to the cross. Grumbling trapped an entire generation in the wilderness. Gratitude is not optional. It's the language of faith. You can't step into promise while rehearsing problems in your mind. And commitment fails under the weight of constant complaining, but thanksgiving is what turns a barren wilderness into a promised land. And gratitude precedes greatness. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. I want to call the ministry team up. We want to pray for you today. I know we prayed for healing already, but you know, sometimes we just got to pound the gate of your vessel to bring it into alignment with heaven. And I'm not talking about physical pounding. Nobody's going to come up and punch you or anything like that. Although that did happen to me. One of John Paul Jackson's interns, when I was really sick in 2007, came up and punched me in the gut. Had like 7 bleeding lesions around my colon. It was awesome. I did get healed and he claimed it. I still don't think it was him. I remember getting punched and I was like, dude, some dude just hit me. I don't want to open my eyes to see who it is because I'll throw hands. Even though I only weighed about 155 pounds then. It's a lot less than now, just so you know. But we're going to pray for you in just a minute. But here's what I want you to think about. When the Samaritan turned back, he's the foreigner. He was the one that wouldn't be permitted to worship in the temple. He's the one that wouldn't even really be accepted by the priests. It was thanksgiving that brought him to the feet of Jesus. Right now, God is calling people back to intimacy, back to awareness, back to Jesus. Some of us have received miracles but haven't returned to the man of the miracle. Some of us have been cleansed, but God wants to make us whole. Return and be made whole.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.